up this year, wrap up this time, prepare for next year. Father, I ask that you would open up the hearts and minds and understanding of your people, that they would see just how loving you are and just how much you care for them. So, Father, as we begin to put the rest today and up to next week for New Moon, Father, we truly do praise you. We thank you again for fresh starts, new starts. We thank you for this journey. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. All right, may be seated. Why must my worship be renewed for this new journey? How many of you travel out of town with any kind of regularity? Okay. For those of you that ever travel out of town or go on a trip, you ever notice how you start to get excited as the trip approaches and you're getting ready to go, you start getting excited? Now, the only time you don't get excited is when you don't want to go on that trip. Now, when you're excited about your trip, no one has to tell you to pack. No one has to tell you to get ready. You ever notice how when you want to go on a trip, no one has to wake you up? Because what's your reality? All right, so one of the things we want to look at quickly in our reality is on this new journey, this new trip, I have to have my worship renewed. Now, I can tell you as a counselor, not just of this church, but of a marital counselor, when a couple does not renew their vows, they are in trouble. Because as a couple, periodically, what must you do? You have to renew your vows because you don't have the same relationship. So the thing that I want to see is on this trip, there's two things. I got to renew my worship, and I got to renew my relationship. So I want y'all to understand that. To enjoy and get the full benefits of this journey, I have to renew what first? My worship, and then I got to renew my relationship. All right, so we're going to see a lot of stuff real quick because I'm serious. So I got to renew it for this journey. So let's look why. Renewed worship enables me to respond. That next word is effectively. To respond effectively. See, a lot of times people respond, but what's the reality? It's not effectively. So let me show you an example between an older man and a younger man in a response. When I was younger and that testosterone was really flowing, disrespect was a big thing to me. And if you challenged me physically, as nice as a person as I was, if you challenged me physically, that was the wrong thing to do. Because my father taught me, you don't fight, you hurt. Now, for some of you, look at me, I didn't know that about you. Yeah, I didn't plan on fighting 5, 10, or 15 minutes. I planned on fighting no more than 2 minutes. And that was, I was going to hurt you so that you never came back at me. So consequently, what did my testosterone do as a young man? It made me perceive disrespect and made me respond to the disrespect. So what are we trying to show you? In your worship, when you don't have your worship together with God, then you respond to the enemy's disrespect. And you engage in him his way. So watch what I learned when I got a little older. An older guy said to me, he said, look, I don't care about your disrespect. I don't need to respond to you. He said, because this is what I do. And please don't take this the wrong way. He said, I will sue the underwear off of you. But he didn't use the word underwear. No, he didn't use britches either. That's all I'm going to say. So watch what that did to me. It changed my perspective. Because he said, as long as you don't touch me, what difference does it make what you say to me? So what are we trying to tell you? So both with young people and people that don't worship, then the enemy can say things to you and provoke a response from you because of your lack of worship. times when you saw Jesus, they said stuff to him, he didn't respond. So in this new journey that I'm going, I got to renew my worship because I have to learn to respond effectively. So now let's read real quick Psalm 119, 2 and 3. So let's look at it. All right. How happy are those who observe his instruction, who seek him what? Now watch the next thing he says. They do nothing wrong but live by his ways. So notice what he just told you. If you want to live right, the way you do it is seek him wholeheartedly. Because in the process, he said, if you seek him, you will find him. If you get to know him, then what happens is your worship gets renewed. Second thing, renewed worship enables me to present timely. Put that in there, timely. Timely prayers. Why is this important again? Because there's a time to pray and there's a time not to pray. Two, there's the right kind of prayer and there's the wrong kind of prayer. When I learn to worship, I know how to offer a timely prayer. Now, watch again. I want you to see from the scripture. Watch what he says. Tell me if we're not in this, and then listen to his word. Go ahead. The accomplishing of the goal of all things is close at hand. Now, the time you and I are living, we are living in what's right before the last days. This is why you're seeing this chaos that you're seeing. Watch what he says. Therefore, keep what, people? So I got to understand, if the Lord is telling me to be alert, that means there's something working to put me to sleep. But I got to realize it's not the Spirit's job to keep me awake. So when my worship is renewed, whose job is it to keep me awake? Mine. So I got to understand on this journey, what is it I'm going to be learning to do in my worship? To stay awake. Now, anybody here driven 17 consecutive hours? Drove 17 straight. You didn't stop. There's very few of you. Any of y'all ever done 23? 23 straight hours. Without stopping. Okay, so we got one. Any of y'all done 26? Now let me show you something. Even though you haven't done 26, I've done 27. Even if you haven't done 26 or 27, if your life or someone's life that you love depended on you getting there in 26 hours, would you do it? So I got to see the thing that keeps me awake is my incentive. When I don't have incentive, it's easy to fall asleep. Are you listening? I stay awake according to my incentive. So on the journey, I got to realize on a new journey, I can't have the same incentives. Any of you ever work a job for money? Don't raise your hand. You don't have to. But you work a job strictly for the money. There's something that happens, I don't care how much you get paid. If you hate that job, then after a while, is the money an incentive? No, people quit high-paying jobs all the time. Because if you are not a money grubber, then money can never be your incentive for working. So watch again what he says about this timely prayer. No, back up. He says, stay alert, keep alert, and self-control. Now watch next. each other. So you got to see the thing that's putting you to sleep is the thing that's also causing you not to love people. So one of the ways I tell if I'm a, if I'm alert, is I love you regardless of what you're doing to me. If I'm not alert, then I'm going to have a hard time covering your sins. I'm going to have a hard time covering your behavioral patterns. But when I'm alert and I have self-control, it becomes easy for me to forgive you. Third thing, renewed worship. It enables me to offer passionate sacrifices. Passionate. Real quick. Passionate. Are you listening to me? Passionate. My wife says to me earlier, do you want some steak? Now listen to me. She doesn't say, want some steak? She goes and smiles, do you want some steak? And then she'll go, this is juicy. I told her, I said, man, you get a kick out of cooking for me. And I get a bigger kick out of eating it. How do I respond? How do you respond? How will the Lord respond to your passionate sacrifice versus your grudging sacrifice? So on a journey, I want to understand my sacrifice doesn't need to be a sacrifice. It needs to be passionate. Now, watch what I do. When she tells me, do I want it, she has this smile. Now, that smile makes me think, man, this steak is going to be good. I might not be hungry. But once she introduces the concept of that steak, you see what I'm saying? The passion in what you do is what gives others incentives. So just hold on to that. Let's read it. So watch what he says. Whatever work you do, do what? Come on, people. Don't half step. As those who are serving not merely other people, but see, so my passion in my service comes in to, I know Jesus likes that. If you ever read the scripture, you'll see sometimes where he got a kick out of certain people's sacrifice. Remember that woman not the woman in the well, the little mite. What did Jesus say? Understand. How did he see that? How did he respond to that woman? That passionate. You see, he loved Lazarus. Passion needs to be in everything you do. Passion. If you don't have passion at what you do, you need to examine what's going on, because now you won't walk the same way. Let's see where he's going to take us. Why must my relationship to my great shepherd be renewed for this new journey? Renewed relationship. Renewed relationship. Those that have a paper, underline that. Renewed relationship. I got to have that. Renewed relationship. It keeps me focused on happily fulfilling kingdom responsibilities. Happily. This walk is tough when you're not happy. Amen? Right. So in the renewing of the relationship, one of the things I need renewed is my happiness or lack thereof. So let's read what he says. So Romans 14, 7 and 8. For none of us lives only in relation to himself, and none of us dies only in relation to himself. For if we live, we live in relation belong to the Lord. See, that's the thing I want you to see to get some of your passion back. I heard different things from different people. You're depressed. You feel bad. But the bottom line is you still belong to the Lord. I've been messing up. I don't feel it. You still belong to the Lord. What is it that can separate me from the love of God? You see what I'm saying? Nothing. See, so that's what gives me passion is, man, I don't deserve to be up here for all the stuff I've done in my life, and I'm not telling y'all hardly any of it. But no, the stuff that I've done, I have no business being here, but because of his mercy and grace, this is why I'm here. That's why I do what I do, because I don't deserve even the opportunity to do it. It's a privilege to share his word. It's a privilege to suffer for him. It's a privilege to think and get counted out and he bring me back again. I know this one thing. I belong to him. And there's nothing I can do to change that. And that's why I never quit. I don't get sad very often. I don't get down very often. I really don't. That doesn't mean I didn't used to. What do I know about me? What do I know about all of you that belong to him? You belong to him. Watch again. For none of us lives only in relation to what? Drop the verse 8. For if we live, if I mess up, I mess up in relation to the Lord. Even if I sin, I sin in relation to the Lord. So whether I live, I die, I mess up, I sin, I quit, I give up, I feel bad, I belong to the Lord. That'll bring your passion back. See, because my relationship with him is not based on my behavior, it's based on my relationship. Now, if I renew my relationship, it renews my behavior. When I was young, real quick, and this applies to some of y'all, I've only told two women in my life I love them. Because love is a powerful word, and I told people I will never use it unless I mean it. Now, why am I telling you that? So I had different girlfriends. I never told them I love them. Never. What does my wife know when I tell her I love her? So here's where I'm going. So what does Jesus mean when he tell you he love you? Yes. See, when you really understand Jesus does not use that word love lightly, your relationship will begin to get renewed because you realize, and let's go to this passage. Now I joyfully do everything under my Adonai. So listen to me carefully, those of y'all. When I tell y'all I love you, you better believe I love you, because I wouldn't tell you I love you. My kids and my wife would tell you. I'll tell you I like you. And if I don't like you, those that know me, I will tell you. You ask me, do you like me? No, I don't like you. Grandchildren, children, what's rule number one? Don't lie. If I don't like you, I'm going to tell you. I don't like your cooking, I'm going to tell you. I don't believe in making you feel good about your cooking when your cooking ain't good. I'm not going to say, well done, that joker burnt. No. I'm telling you because I want you to see something. Come on to people that know me. How many times do I tell you, oh, I really like that? No. Y'all know me? How many times you know if I give because how? Y'all not getting it? Come on. He succeeded because he did everything right. No. He succeeded because how did he do it? Come on, people. When I told my wife there, when I realized that God looks at my heart and not at the fruit, then I started realizing if I have the right heart about doing something, even if I do it wrong, I still get blessed. Because God looks at your heart. What's your incentive? What's your motivation? So success has to be redefined according to how you go about what you do. Let's go. Now, when I'm happily fulfilling kingdom responsibilities, watch this, I joyfully do everything under my Adonai, which makes me happy. See, if I'm doing it to him, what can I be? One more time. If I'm doing it to him, I can be happy. I don't have to get into this perfection trap. I don't have to get into this works-oriented relationship. When I'm doing it to him, I'm going to ask you this question real quick, and I'm going to speed up even faster. If that was not true, then why is there a Romans 8:28? If God is working stuff for your good, it can't be because you did good. You obviously didn't do good. But what did he still do? He worked it for your good. Because if you got the right heart about it, if you go after with everything you got, even if you do it wrong, what's he going to do? He's going to bless you and work it for your good. So that takes all this pressure off of you. See, I don't have the pressure now at 63 that I had at 22. At 22, I was scared. I'm going to mess up. He's going to strike me down with lightning. I don't worry about that. If I get struck by lightning, praise God. Is that the way he want to take me? But watch, if I'm afraid of sinning, if I'm afraid of making a mistake, how can I live this life and be happy? How can you be happy with a person that's waiting for you to mess up? You can't. God's not waiting for you to mess up. He already knows you're going to mess up. But 8:28 still applies. So now watch this part I want you to see. Watch what makes me happy. What makes me succeed? What makes me happy? I did it with what? I'm happy. Are you hearing me? If you do it with all your heart, you can be happy. Now watch. Now others know they can positively count on me, which makes them happy. See, if I do it wholeheartedly, that makes me happy. But when people can count on me, that makes them happy. Let's read. Genesis 39:22-23. The prison warden made Yosef supervisor of all the prisoners in the prison. Now, some of y'all know you would not want to be a supervisor in prison, especially if you were cast in prison unjustly, especially if you was cast there and put there by your brothers. But watch. What did he do? Everything he did wholeheartedly to his Lord. Now let's watch how he succeeded. So that whatever they did there, who was in charge? He was in charge of it. 23. The prison warden, this is how you know that brother was happy to have somebody like Joseph. He said the prison warden did what, people? See, so even in that situation, how did Joseph live? How did he act? What did he do? All things wholeheartedly unto his Lord. And what did he do? He succeeded. He kept doing it wholeheartedly to his Lord, so he kept overcoming. What y'all don't really understand, most people, because you don't understand that Egyptian culture, you need to realize that when that man's wife accused him of basically trying to rape her, the law was to kill Joseph. But what did that man know about Joseph? If Joseph said, I didn't do it, what did he know? He didn't do it. That's why he let him live. He couldn't kill him because he knew that man's character. By rights, he should have been killed. A slave messing with the master's wife. They should have killed him. Now watch something else. He didn't try to run away. That's good character. You know you're falsely accused and you could try to get away, but you don't even try to run away. Now my Adonai knows I am absolutely ready, which makes him happy. I do joyfully unto him. That makes who happy? Me happy. Because people can count on me, that makes them happy. But when I'm ready, that makes him happy. So let's read it. Happy the slaves, whom the master finds what? Remember what the Lord told us in the end? Be what? Alert and self-control. What did he just tell you? What makes Jesus happy? People, come on. When you are alert and you have self-control, it makes him happy. And now you can be happy because you know it makes him happy. Yes, I tell you, he will put on his work clothes, seat them at the table. Y'all better catch that. Please look at this. Y'all got to catch this. You got to understand the master has servants to serve people. But because you were alert and you had self-control, he served you himself. Now, in that culture, that is the highest honor you can get, is when the Lord, the master, the king served you. What did he just say? Serve them himself. Who's heard of the marriage feast of the Lamb? The wedding feast. All right, one day we'll do that. 38, whether it's late at night or what? Early in the morning. If this is how, come on, Key. If this is how he finds them, those slaves are happy. Because watch, no matter what time he comes, what's my reality? I'm awake, I'm alert, I'm ready. What unexpected effect does new worship and new relationship have on me? Almost done. It keeps reasonable fears from hindering my service. It keeps reasonable fears from hindering my service. Very important you get that word reasonable. All right, Revelation 2, verse 10. Here we go. First sentence. I want you to read with me. First sentence. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. That's a reasonable fear. In other words, what makes it reasonable? Is it going to involve some suffering? Are you going to face it? Yes. So he's not trying to lie to you. He's telling you you're going to face it, but then watch what he says. Look, I'm going to tell you even more. Look, the adversary is going to have some of you thrown in prison in order to put you to the test. See what he says. Now, last part. And he says, and you will face an ordeal for 10 days. Here's the key incentive. Remain faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your crown. service, if I'm afraid of dying, it's going to hinder my service. There's things I won't do if I'm afraid of dying. Now, I was sharing with Deb, and I was sharing with another friend of mine. You don't realize how powerful the 23rd Psalm is, because what it is you read it as something everybody knows, but they don't really listen to the words and see what's taking place. All right, who in here has been brought to a point of death, got close to death? Keep your hands up. All right, at that point of death, who did you call on? Watch again. I'm going to show you. See, when you get close to death and you realize you don't have any confidence or faith in yourself, you call out, cry out, you put your trust in the one at that moment who you actually believe can bring you back from that point of death. Now, watch. 23rd Psalm, let's go. Though I walk. All right, stop. So everybody here, at some point in your life, you're going in that valley. You can't get away from it. You can't run from it. You're going to go through that. But he tells you that thing again. I fear no evil, but I'm in the midst of all evil. Now, but why am I not going to fear evil? I'm going to hurry up. Because watch again, because who is my shepherd? See, so again, so going on this new journey, what must all of you that haven't been there yet, understand? What do you know for sure? It's coming. But see, once you've been there, for those of y'all that have been there, once you've been there, you lose your fear. See, that's why I tell people, I'm not afraid of dying, because I've almost been there 10 times. And every time, who gets me out? He does. Yeah, the doctors do good work. But the great physician is my shepherd. So on this journey, what do you all of us here got to realize? If I still have a fear of death, it's going to have to go at some point. Now, this is what I appreciate about women and their children. They have no fear of death if their child is in a situation where there's a possible loss of life. They will fight anything and anybody anywhere. Now, why am I saying that? Because I got to love the Lord that same way, to where I'll fight anybody, anytime, over anything to stay like that with him. You are not going to separate me from the Lord. So I don't care what dart, what poison, I don't care what arrow you shoot at me, you ain't going to change me and my relationship with him, because it gets renewed every year. Now let's hurry up and finish it up. It keeps my reasonable walk from hindering others' salvation. Let's read it. Don't be an obstacle to anyone, not to Jews, not to Gentiles, not to God's messianic community. Just as I try to please everyone and everything I do, not looking out for what, people? But for those of the many. Why? Y'all see what he said? See, what gets people saved, watch, is them understanding who you are representing. Aren't you an ambassador for Christ? Then who do you represent? Then you need to represent his interests. So what happens when the people in the world whooped them, told them, don't preach in this man's name again. What did Peter and them do? They rejoiced. Then what did they do? They went right back out doing it. Now, in these last days, those are the kind of people that God is raising up. People that don't have a fear of death, and people that's going to give God's message to whomever God tell them to the way he want them to do. That's why Paul said, for me to die is the gain. Last one. New worship, a new relationship. It presents my reasonable God in a positive light to others. See, in other words, when people think you're unreasonable, they have a hard time connecting with you and God. Now, watch a passage of scripture in there again, and I'm going to finish up. All right, everybody look at this thing real quick. You ready to go home? You getting ready to eat in a little while. Some of y'all can tell already. It'll be all right. All right, let's go. First two words. Okay. Okay, hold on, hold on. Instructions was two words. Let's go two. Let's not jump it. Come on. Let. See, don't hide being reasonable. I'm going to tell you as a pastor, a lot of believers are very unreasonable. But what God said is be reasonable. Now let's what? Let's go. Let what? Everyone. Next word. See. See. He's telling you something. Some of y'all smiling because you're getting it. Let them what? See. So some of y'all going to have to kind of come out from behind the shadow. Let them see how. Now, reasonable. I'm almost done. Come on, Alex, tell me. Reasonable. Define reasonable for me. Yep. Yes. No, this is not rhetorical. No. No, I want you. Define reasonable. Yeah. Wait a minute, your sister trying to help you out. Go ahead, Grace, you gonna help them out? It's gonna surprise you. It's really gonna surprise you when you realize what reasonable is. Reasonable is two words. Reasonable. In other words, you're able to use reasoning. Now, reasoning means, Laura, thinking, it's an L word. Logical. Many believers, Tia, in y'all's protocols, isn't everything laid out about how y'all supposed to respond to certain things and what you're supposed to do when you see certain things? Right? Right. Right. What? No, we in a different mode now. Typically it is. All right, Dietrich. When somebody comes in there for a funeral, don't y'all have a set of protocols that are laid out on what to do, how to do it, what to say, what not to do? All right. Take any other subject, math. Isn't it based on logical principles? Most of y'all don't like math, but yeah. Now watch where we're going so you see it. What happens when people see that you're logical and you're not that false spiritual? See, we got a lot of false spiritual, but not toe. And what's the final message? Then stand. All right, folks. Is he near? Yes. So how do I need to be with people? Stand. Reasonable and gentle. So in other words, I need to be able to explain to people why he's near. Because what did he say was going to happen before he comes? I got to know Matthew 24. I got to know it. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again as we prepare now for that next year. Father, we don't know exactly how things are going to unfold, but we do know one thing, that you're in control. So, Father, as we prepare now to go forward, to be reasonable and gentle with all people, Father, thank you for the honor and privilege of living during this time. Thank you again for that precious message that you gave us. And Father, thank you for the people who use their talents and abilities to glorify you. Father, we praise you once again. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. For those who have your offering, please go to the back. You are my king. You know which one they are. You know the gold is always tied. All right, everybody come to the altar. I want all the sisters over here. All the brothers, come over here. Brothers, over here. Brothers.